KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From 94.9 KUOW Seattle, I'm Dave Beck. Whether their backgrounds are in jazz, bluegrass, classical, or any other style, musicians love to perform the Brazilian style known as choro. Choro features a mix of wind, plucked string, and percussion instruments, and had its origins in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Rosalind DeRuz is a Seattle clarinetist who loves the spirit, the musical challenges, and the diversity of choro. About 5 years ago, she began playing and studying choro at Seattle's Cornish College of the Arts. Now she's put together her own band. The five members of Choro Loco brought their instruments to the KUOW Performance Studio this week. I spoke with Rosalind DeRuz and guitarist Stuart Zobel. Stuart says part of the appeal of choro music is its strong sense of community and embrace of so many styles, sounds, and cultures. He says the spirit behind choro reminds him of great musical melting pots like New Orleans.
You know, all segments of Brazilian society were involved in it. You had a lot of the upper classes, I think, you know, with their pianos and they were playing this music from Europe and fusing it and actually getting together with other people, you know, that might be outside of their class or their race, and getting together and playing. And it reminds me a lot of, in some ways, of like the old timey music here, as far as the jam sessions and the circles, you know, the big, and that still happen here. And that happens in Rio with choro, and they call them the rodas, which means wheel or circle. Anybody can show up and play these tunes, you know, and it's similar. It's a body of literature that there's probably 100 or 200 tunes everybody knows, and they can get together and play it together all the time. And kind of any instrument can come, you know, you see all sorts. I mean, there's definitely the standard instruments, but people will show up with trombones or baritone horns or whatever. You know?
Yeah. Well, your instrumentation is very much in that style. You've got the mandolin and clarinet and guitar and a couple percussionists. So kind of what, as you say, what shows up is what you work with.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah, and anybody can take their own role with it. I think that it lends itself to that. If you're more of a reader, if you're coming from a classical background, you can just read the melodies and kind of hear how other people interpret the melodies. There's some freedom in that creativity. You know, as a bass player, I mean, you're playing on a 7-string guitar, so you're also infusing the grooves, you know, but also bass lines. You're doing a counterpoint movement, but bass lines, which is not really kind of heard of. But if a bass player shows up, a bass player, of course, can, you know, they can play the bass lines. They can make up their bass lines, you know, with the harmony, you know. So, yeah, it's really flexible.
So Stuart's playing it on the guitar, some bass, along with chords and solos. Right. And then you have your friend Brandy over here.
Yeah.
And what's that percussion that she's playing on? And she takes often a melodic role almost as a percussion player.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of insist that with every percussionist I work with. No, she it's called a tantan or a rebolo. And it does have that bass quality that adds to it, because I feel like that the bottom end can sometimes be lost with this music. And so it really kind of it fleshes that out, I feel like, as well as holding the groove.
Yeah. So, Stuart, it just reminds me, you're describing something like Dixieland when you're talking about this kind of community involvement and this melting pot. You know, we know the tunes, but we're going to bring whatever we have to the performance of this tune.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's room for solos, you know, improvisation. A lot of times in the jam sessions, what'll happen is they'll play a section of the tune, and when it gets to be your turn, you know, you can play the melody or something else. And you get one ride through that section, and then it's on to the next person. And a lot of times there's, like in Dixieland, you've got a couple of people going at it at the same time and just filling in around each other. It's like controlled chaos.
It's conversational.
It absolutely is.
Ideally it's conversational.
And this leads into this first tune you're going to do for us, because there is all sorts of quotations in this. Can you help us break down some of the things that we hear as it speaks to the many styles that are part of choro music?
Yeah, this first tune is called Na Gloria. And it does quote, in the C section, it quotes Mendelssohn's Wedding Music. And and it also quotes, there's something you mentioned about a polka.
Well, there's a polka quoted in there, an American tune, I believe. It's the only lyric we have. Hey, Babariba. And, you know, I started playing this song, and I assumed that was some Brazilian quote. I didn't know, understand what it meant. I just sang it. Right. And I looked it up, and it's like, that's an American drinking polka.
Yeah.
That somehow made its way into the
hey,
song.
Hey, Babariba, rhubarb pie. Garrison Keillor, that's so...
Yeah.
It's all part of the stew.
Yeah, it is. It is a stew. A stew, yeah.
Well, here's our guests on KUOW live in our performance studio, members of the Seattle-based band Choro Loco. And we'll hear from Roz DeRuz, clarinet, Stuart Zobel, Christian Runge, Lavergia Taylor, and Brandy Ledford playing live. Our guests on KUOW playing live here in our performance studio are members of the Seattle-based band Choro Loco. They perform the Choro style of music from Brazil, and band members are Rosalind DeRuz, clarinet, Stuart Zobel playing a seven-string guitar, Christian Runge, mandolin, Lavergia Taylor, percussion, and Brandy Ledford playing percussion as well on the tom-tom, a Brazilian percussion instrument. Excellent playing. Great to hear you. And I had no idea Mendelssohn, whose wedding march was quoted there, has Brazilian roots or something like that. Well, you talk, Roz, about this being very much a living tradition as we, you know, like ragtime or jazz or anything that keeps moving forward. There's that marriage of the new and old. And I suppose that's one of the things that keeps you in this game.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. There's definitely a history to it. And, you know, I'm constantly listening to this music, reading about it, studying up on the composers. But yeah, there's a lot going on right now. You know, on the whole West Coast alone, there's so many different bands performing this music, you know. And it is a living tradition. I think that, you know, especially, you know, as an American, as a North American, I'm kind of taking this music and reinterpreting it and putting my own little spin on it, my own voice on it. And so there is a little bit of the old, that marriage of the old, but then also with the new, and trying to keep it really fresh, try to keep it really different, but also trying to preserve the culture and the tradition alone, because, you know, just out of, you know, respect, out of honor, out of joy, out of love. So, yeah, that's kind of what I like to do with that.
You have one more tune to play for us in the Choro style. What's this one?
This tune is called Biruta. The name translates to the word loony. And it's a partido alto, so that's kind of a different kind of groove sense you're going to hear. And it's written by Jacob do Bandolim.
Now, this is one of the names in Brazilian music that's very famous down there, but perhaps not as well known up here.
You know, I yeah. feel like a yeah yeah he's definitely yeah Jacob is kind of a household he's a household name, especially in the Choro community, in the Brazilian music community.
I mean, I think in Brazil it's fair to say that I would say at least in Rio and a lot of the bigger cities, Choro music is I mean everybody knows it, you know, it's ubiquitous. Everybody grew up on it, their grandparents grew up on it.
Yeah.
And Jacob de Bandolim is definitely one of the huge names in the 50s. I mean, he's much later, but he wrote a lot of songs, and every single one that I've ever heard or played is amazing.
Yeah. Well, and because he's a mandolin player, and it translates obviously well to mandolin, and I think that was another bridge that has attracted mandolin players here to North America, people coming from a bluegrass background or jazz, gypsy jazz background, or you know what have you. I think they're very attracted to this music because it does sit really well on the instrument, and it's just got a great groove sense to it. The melodies are absolutely gorgeous.
Well, let's hear this tune played for us live in our performance studio by members of the band Choro Loco. Live in our performance studio here on KUOW, members of the Seattle-based band Choro Loco. They perform the Choro style of music from Brazil, and we heard on clarinet Rosalind de Ruz, Stuart Zobel on seven-string guitar, Christian Runge mandolin, LaVirgia Taylor percussion, and Brandy Ledford on drum there. Choro Loco will perform along with other Northwest-based Brazilian bands on Friday, November 9th at 8:30 at the Royal Room in Columbia City. More information is at kuow.org. Search for Brazil and we'll link you to the Choro Loco website. Eamon Nordquist is our sound engineer for this session. Thank you all very much. We really appreciate you coming in today.
Yeah.
I'm Dave Beck. This is KUOW 94.9.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at kuow.org.